Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things called impossible, and He can do what no other power can do. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You, Lord, for Your grace, for Your goodness, for the mercy, for the kindness. We thank You, dear God, that You have brought life to us. You placed life in us from creation, but You have given us eternal life and opened the door, the opportunity to live with You forever through Your gift of love in Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we simply pray that You would bless each heart and life here through the witness and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts with the abundance of the message that we celebrate this time of year, at this season. Father, bless each one according to Your will, and may our hearts open to the truth that sets us free. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, well, last week, I did a little background talking about the Gospel of Luke and how Luke's intent in writing his Gospel, again, years after the death and resurrection of Christ, and how Luke was the only Gentile writer, the Greek writer in the New Testament, writing the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. But how he'd laid out, we won't read it again, but in the first four verses, how he says many people are writing about these events. Many people are writing about the Christian faith. Many people are writing things about what has taken place. And he said, it is I feel this urge, I feel this leading to provide you with a perfect understanding, as verse 3 says, of all the things that happened from the first. And so Luke goes back farther than any other of the writers of the Gospels, and he goes back and covers to the very, I guess, the very beginning spark of the coming, the birth of Christ, in referencing the birth and the conception, the promises of God given to Zacharias and Elizabeth regarding the birth of their son, John, who we call John the Baptist. And how that this set forth in motion the fulfillment of prophecy from the Old Testament. Again, that is not covered in any of the other Gospels. It's not covered any other than the ministry of John the Baptist. This, the working of God leading up to this, to the birth of Christ, is there's more history there than we see and learn any other place, in especially in such detail, because that was Luke's goal, to make this very, very clear and get to the very, again, that perfect, that complete understanding of these times, the tumultuous, amazing times in which they lived. So last week we spoke about that, and I think what I'm going to do today is I'm going to start with verse 39 of chapter 1 in Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. I think I read through this last week, but I want to use it to bring to another point. This is kind of a non-Christmas message, because it's talking about the events leading up to what we celebrate at Christmas, but how foundational, how important these events are, and how they came to pass, how important that is, which transfers into how important your life and mine is. Our lives are what God is doing today. and he's doing it in the same manner. So in Luke 1:39, this is after Mary had been visited by Gabriel, and the fact that she was going to be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost and conceive and carry and give birth to the Savior of the world. Pause and think about that. You know, we've all had important jobs and jobs we think are important, but, you know, Mary, you're going to give birth to the Savior of the world, the Savior of mankind. Such an understanding and revelation, and she believed it. That's emphasized. She believed it and gave herself to the will of God, as verse 38 says. And Mary said, "Behold, thy handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She gave herself. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, you know, the Lord's looking for organ donors, but he doesn't just want a heart or a liver or a lung. He wants our whole body. He wants our whole life. He's asking that we give ourselves to him, which Paul says is the only reasonable thing that we can conclude, knowing that God has given his son for us, is to yield our lives to God and the working of God. But Mary yielded herself. She said, "Behold, here I am. Let it be according to your word." That's not just believing, and that's not just faith. That's entering in, yielding to the will of God. So Mary arose, based on what Gabriel told her, that her cousin Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with a son, John. So Mary arose in those days, and they went into the hill country with haste. She was excited about what was taking place. I mean, Most mothers are excited about the news of becoming pregnant, and that alone is an exciting time. But she went in the country with haste. She had something extra special to talk to her cousin about, and especially that they are both involved in this coming of the Lord. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. In other words, she came to the door and said, "Hey, Liz, I'm here. I want to talk." And so, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. We'll come back to this. And she spake with a loud voice. Isn't it interesting when you get excited about things, you speak with a loud voice? You get excited about something, you begin speaking with a loud voice. Luke especially points out, she spoke with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." When Mary came, there was a divine witness of the Spirit. At the sound of Mary's voice, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we won't spend a lot of time with that except to say there's a difference between having access to the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, being taught of the Spirit, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. That infilling of the Holy Spirit comes when we empty out ourselves, and as Mary did, and gave herself, says, "Here I am, do with me what you would." And there's room then, there's that invitation for the Holy Spirit to enter in his fullness and imbue us with power, even as Peter said on the day of Pentecost that when the Holy Spirit's come, or Jesus spoke to them about the coming of the Holy Spirit, that they should be filled with power and become witnesses into Samaria and Jerusalem and the uttermost parts of the world. That doesn't come naturally. That comes by the power of the Spirit. So what Elizabeth was speaking here was through the witness of the Spirit in her heart, the witness of the Spirit in this power of the Spirit that she saw herself in her true light. She was so grateful to be at her old age to be having a baby, but to know that this child was destined to become fulfill prophecy and be a forerunner to go before the Lord who would bring the Savior of the world. She was honored, and she kept that secret, so nobody knew except her and her husband. But here came Mary, because the Lord had told Mary. Gabriel had told Mary what was taking place. And then verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul," and this is really should be considered a prophecy. Again, Mary has received and filled with the Holy Spirit. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath he sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So Mary came forth with this proclamation of what it was, again, what she had been thinking of and what the Holy Spirit revealed to her in these Old Testament prophecies that she was aware of and now was learning, that this is indeed nothing less than the coming of the promised Savior and Deliverer of Israel and of the world, as many as call upon him, as many as fear him from generation to generation. She was carrying that child, that Savior. And her praise was not, her thought was not on herself. Her thought was upon the work of God. And that's one thing that God does through the Holy Spirit, is reveals to us that it's not about me and this vessel of flesh in which I live. It's about God's work in me, in this earthen vessel, as Paul refers to it. It's all about the work of God and glorifying his name in the name of Jesus in my body. The Holy Spirit's role, up until even just this point, we find that the working of the Holy Spirit was very prominent, though we don't really, again, hear this in the typical Christmas message. The role of the Holy Spirit in bringing about this day is emphasized and spoken of many times. To Zacharias, as he went into the temple, an angel appeared to him and brought him the word of God. I'll go beyond the Holy Spirit, though it's important. There was an overlap, I'm going to call it kind of an overlap, of the spiritual realm and the earthly realm. Throughout this, leading up to the birth, just leading up to the birth, and the time of Jesus' birth, heaven and earth kind of overlapped. Gabriel, an angel of the Lord, appeared to Zacharias in the temple, and told him what things were about to take place and explained to him how it was going to work and who his son would be, even though he and his wife are really past time of being able to have children. That's a Christmas miracle. That's a miracle. And again, months before. Months before Christ was born. And Zacharias lived with this knowledge. There is the visitation of the Holy Spirit upon Mary, and the visitation of Gabriel, the angel, to Mary. said, this is what's taking place. Now is the time, now is the season, and you are the one that has found grace in God's sight. Through you will this Savior be, will go through, again, God came in the flesh. That's what Emmanuel, as we sing about, means. God in the flesh. That alone, if we give thought and time to think about that and contemplate that, the Almighty Creator of all things come to earth in the likeness of flesh, of us, looking just like any one of us. The Holy Spirit overshadowed. That word overshadowed, I don't remember if I talked about it last week or not, but it's the same word as when, like when Jesus went up into the mountain to pray with Peter and John, and there's just a bright, brilliant cloud that enveloped them. It's that same word. They had, actually, it said, stepped into a divine realm that came upon Mary, that came upon Jesus, and came upon Peter and John. The Holy Spirit came upon and overshadowed Mary. In the Gospel of Matthew, when Joseph found out that his bride-to-be was with child, he was going to do the honorable thing, and he was going to, you know, he was not going to make a public spectacle of her, like Matthew records, but maybe put her away quietly and allow her that grace. But then the Holy Spirit said, wait a minute, no, you got a job to do here. You have a job to do. And she has not cheated on you. She is with child of the Holy Ghost. And the child that she carries, you shall name Jesus, the Savior of the world. You have part in this as well, though we never hear much more about Joseph or from Joseph. He said, you have part in this as well, is to bring your name, the name of the tribe of Judah, the name of the tribe of Judah, and fulfill that prophecy. Both Mary and Joseph were of the tribe of Judah. To bring that fulfillment of prophecy through a legitimate marriage and through the working of God. He says, no, Joseph, you've got a big job here. You got to step up and be the man and understand as well. And Gabriel explained that to him. And so Joseph was moved and inspired and informed by the Holy Spirit. And all this, again, taking place well before the actual birth of the Savior. And then there's, the Holy Ghost, you know, I already mentioned this, how the Holy Ghost, not only Gabriel came to Mary, but the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and implanted in her this new life. We have the whole, as we just read, Elizabeth, when she heard Mary's voice, was filled with the Holy Ghost and the understanding of God. Because she did not know about Mary. She did not know what the Lord had revealed to Mary. She did not know, naturally, that Mary was carrying the Savior of the world. It is when she was filled with the Holy Spirit that she spoke of it clearly, as if she had full knowledge. She understood. God reveals things. I got to keep on before I go down that trail. So, think of it like this: that when she said, when I heard your voice, when your voice, Mary, came in through my ears, she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she said, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. So I just kind of thought of him as John, instead of John the Baptist, just John the fetus. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He leapt for joy. She knew there was a leap for joy. How did she know that? You know, babies move. You can feel that. It's 6 months long. You feel babies move. But he leapt for joy and rejoiced at the voice of the mother of the Savior of the world. And then this last part we read, Mary's prophecy and is her proclamation of the role of Jesus and the work of Jesus was inspired by and enabled by the Holy Spirit in her. Heaven and earth overlapped at the time before the birth of Christ. This work was in process 15 months or more before the birth of Jesus. When God is at work in our hearts and our lives, when the Holy Spirit is revealing things to us, he reveals things to us that are yet to be unseen by the world. We embrace them by faith. We know those things are taking place. We have the witness of the Spirit within us. Yet the fulfillment of it may be sometime down the road. It might be some way down the road. So when the time that Jesus was born, Mary had been expecting this, and Elizabeth had been expecting this. And so when these things actually took place, if you go to Luke chapter 2, again, we have heaven and earth overlapping with the shepherds in the field. Literally, we start in verse 8, and there were in the same country, this is Luke 2, 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Heaven was opened up so those shepherds, those lowly shepherds, might see and be a witness to what had just taken place. And they spoke of it as they went to Bethlehem. They said, let's go there and let's see what's come to pass. Let's find out about this. Let's look into this. The sheep will be fine without us. Let's go to Bethlehem. This is not something we'll ever see again. Heaven opened up. And rejoicing. I think there's a lot of rejoicing in heaven that if we could know about, if we could see, we would be humbled. We would be humbled by the rejoicing in heaven. In Psalms, we read that there's rejoicing in the presence of angels at the death of one of the Lord's saints, because that means they're coming home. There's rejoicing when a mother gives birth to a child, because everybody on the outside is anxious and waiting to see that child. Even so, there's rejoicing in the kingdom of God, in the presence of God, that one of God's children is coming home, that another soul that has been saved is entering into the fullness of the promises of God. The Holy Spirit's role in our lives today is something that the overlap of the kingdom of God, the things of the Spirit that overlap in our lives today, is none the less important or prominent. Actually, we could say with the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit with us, to witness to us, to speak to our heart of hearts. If we will listen, like Mary said, you know, she said, as you have said, let it be unto me. Those are the words that God is waiting to hear from every one of us. Because God has a purpose and a calling in our lives that is all, you know, founded on Christ the Savior, founded on the work that God is doing, founded on the blessings of God in Christ, founded on the purpose of God in the human race. God would have us to know that and rejoice in that and to live in that and to live our everyday lives with that knowledge. That we are not of this world. We are not meant to be bound to this world. We are not to be given to the things of this world. But to give ourselves and yield ourselves to the working of God in Christ through the presence of the same Holy Spirit who speaks to us, who calls us, who works in our hearts and in our souls, drawing us closer and closer to God. This time leading up to the birth of Christ and even at the birth of Christ, heaven and earth overlapped. The things of the Spirit were prominent in the lives of those that we read. And again, these are things that we do not read of in any other gospel. We would not know of unless the Holy Spirit had led Luke to put these things and enabled Luke to put these things in writing for us. So now we live in a time, again, this is kind of a non-traditional Christmas message. So now we live in a time where the world, you know, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, that song, I keep thinking about that. You know, that was, if I remember correctly, that was written in the late 1800s. So the person that wrote that song had the same sort of feelings. That, you know, every year we hear the Christmas bells playing and we hear the Christmas carols being sung and the messages on peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But the world is still filled with hate and fighting and ungodliness and darkness, self-centeredness, unbelief, rebellion. The only cure for that is the enlightenment that comes through the Holy Spirit to one individual heart and mind at a time. That, as I'm going to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We spoke of this, we were studying this a little bit on Wednesday night. But in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, as Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, there's a couple points here that stood out that I wanted to bring out today. Nicodemus came to Jesus saying, "We know what you're doing is of God." And Jesus began to teach him things that he had not asked questions about, teach him things he had not requested. Yet he later came to see the importance of them. The first in John 3:3 is he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We live in a world that says, "Well, show me God and I'll believe." That has existed throughout the human history. Show me God, then I'll believe. You know, they said to Jesus, "Do a miracle, then we'll believe it. Let us see it with our own eyes." The thing is, seeing the works of God does not bring about faith or belief. It does not accomplish that on a general scale. If anybody would challenge God and say, "Well, show me, then I'll believe," it's as if God owes me an explanation, and he owes me nothing because he has already provided this grand and glorious witness that Luke records. And it is belief, it is reading at and giving consideration to that, that being true. If that is true, that God, these are the things that, that led up to the birth of Christ, these are the things that were revealed and that the Holy Spirit did, and that, that Gabriel did, and the spirit realm, and the skies opened up, and their multitudes were singing, appeared with the angels, rejoicing and praising and glorifying God, I'm missing out on something. I'm missing out on something very important if I don't believe that and I don't embrace that. Think of the great step, the great divide that stands between someone in their pride challenging God to show me, then I'll believe. And John the fetus. And believing that. That is a bridge that can only be crossed, a divide that can only be crossed through faith in the Word of God, in believing the witness of the Holy Spirit. It will never seem logical to the unredeemed. It will never seem logical that this is how God is going to save the world, by sending a baby into the world. That will never make sense. But through the Holy Spirit, the enlightening of the Holy Spirit, through the enlightening of the Word of God recorded for us and written in the power and in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we can clearly then begin to see the plan and the working of God taking place even today. Before Jesus appears in power and glory, which he is going to do, that there is no reason for life on earth except that Jesus finishes his work in the human race and his kingdom is established over earth, over in either, and sin is, and death are absolutely defeated universally, as they have been in Christ. It's just on planet Earth that it has not been fully manifested. There is no other purpose for being alive but to walk with God, to believe in God, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. There is no other good that can be accomplished with a person's life. There is nothing. We would never would have heard of Mary except that she had been found grace in the sight of God and carried the child Jesus. So unless a man be born again or born of the Spirit, if you look down into verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you're only born of the flesh, ye must, verse 7 says, if you want to understand how Jesus is teaching the things he teaches and doing the things he does, if you want to comprehend that and the reality of it and the power of it, it is evidence that you have to be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit, that you can understand that there are forces moving about in this world all around us every day that we cannot see. Verse 8, Jesus compares it to the wind. Where does the wind come from? Where does it go? No, I don't want a meteorological explanation of that. But the point is that we don't see it, but we feel the force. We don't know where it comes from, where it goes. But we see the evidence of it. Such are they. So is everyone, Jesus said in verse 8, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. God does work. You ever been, just happen to be in the right place at the right time and run into somebody and have just the right conversation? And you realize that, you know, God puts you there and puts people in your lives, and it's no accident. Either they may have something for you from God, or you may have something from them from God. Our lives are all about the working of the Holy Spirit in these earthen, while we live in these earthen vessels. The Holy Spirit, you know, if God, you know, a lot of people think, well, if there's a God, why doesn't he cure cancer? Because this vessel was not made to live forever. The Spirit is what's going to live forever. We see the difference between flesh and spirit. And we begin to lose great interest in the flesh because it is temporary. Even as Mary's life was transformed from being just a humble, lowly maiden, getting married to a carpenter or a farmer, suddenly he exalted her from that lowly place. And he said, from this point on, the world will call you blessed. Because she was blessed. She of her own self was not blessed, but she was blessed to have been given this opportunity and to accepted it. She gave herself to the Spirit and said, do with me according to your word. Those same words are what God is waiting to hear from every one of us if he hasn't heard them from you already. Our lives without the Holy Spirit working in them and through them are empty and tired and dry and fruitless. Even as a life, a person without faith in Christ, belief in Christ as their Savior, they do not have a future. But that's the whole message. Here comes the Savior of all mankind to bring us life and grace and mercy from God. The Holy Spirit is dealing with every one of us right now. Are you hearing his voice? Are you challenged? Are you challenged to say yes? To say, even so, according to your will, O God? Our lives are without the gift of God. We give gifts as reminders this time of year. We've been given this great gift of God in the person of Jesus Christ. But it is all through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is essential in every life, the life of a believer, the life of an unbeliever. It is only by the Spirit that we can have the things of eternity opened up and blossom in our hearts and in our souls. So God is yet giving us each a gift this year, this time of our lives, every day, every day. It's the gift and the leading and empowering of the Holy Spirit that brought us the Savior of the world. With that, let's close in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, that we could be so blessed, that we come to know Christ as our Savior, that we believe and receive and yield to your will, your purpose in our hearts and in our minds. Father, bless this message to each one. Bless this message and this truth to each one here today, that we might rejoice in the hope and the gift of Christ our Savior and that would fill our days with peace and joy in believing. Father, we thank you for this unspeakable gift, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
382, verse 1.
Number 382. Let's stand and sing the first verse. 382. Come to this wisdom to children, come as new sight to the blind. Come, Lord, as strength to my weakness. Take me, soul, body, and mind. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own gentle way. The Spirit responds to any open door. May God bless you in the remembrance of Christmas, the birth of our Savior, and the gift of the Spirit. Amen.